Good morning, brothers and sisters.
I've been preaching on a series about discipleship. Today, my topic is the church. I understand some of you will be leaving the church here and going to another city, most likely attending a college and try to look for a church. So to prepare you for living here and try to identify good church for yourself, I speak on this topic today. So many of you, actually, especially you are young people, you're basically born in this church. When you're a baby, your parents brought you here, and then you're raised up in a children group, in the youth group, and now you begin going. So a lot of things you take for granted. What is church? What's my role in the church? What's the meaning of church? And when I go to a new city, how do I look for an appropriate church? So today, let me share with you some main points. My main points are already listed on your bulletin. So in case I lose track, if you lose track of the sermon, please refer to the bulletin. A lot of people think about church as if this is a building. But in fact, the meaning of church actually is deeper than that. The original meaning of the church means, in Greek term, means call out. It's a group of people who are being called out by the Lord to assemble together. So the church is not a building, but it's a body of people, a body of believers who follow Christ. Let's look at a passage from here. This is from John 10, 14 to 16. Could I ask you to read together? Let's go. Here Jesus gives us a parable saying that he's the shepherd and all his believers follow a sheep. And he said here, I must bring them also and they too will listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. So the shepherd is going to call out from different pens, different areas and call his sheep from all around to join as one group. So as a church, it means those who are being called out as one group. And from this concept, you can see that church, you can kind of talk about church in two different sense. Church in a general sense, and also church in a specific sense. Church in a general sense means that actually it's the universal church, all the church embraced together. All those believers who belong to Christ. All those believers who follow Christ. That's why last night we have this welcome party. You can see that this is a joint effort between our church and also other churches. And years past, you can see that whenever the new believers, we baptize people in the Southside Baptist Church because this is the fruit of the efforts of the joined together of different churches. So although they worship in American church, we worship in Chinese church, actually, in a general sense, all belong to the same church. It's just we speak in different language and work according to our language preference, we have different locations, but we actually are all brothers and sisters. As long as we believe the same faith, so we are in the same church. For example, we have Southside Baptist Church, we have First Baptist Church, we have Columbia Evangelical Church we had last night, and also First P. All these brothers and sisters are on the same church. That's why this is our student fellowship philosophy. Whenever we brought some people to Christ, for example, they attend our mini gospel camp, or maybe during our evangelistic dinner meeting, when they come to Christ, we do not insist of having them to come to worship in our church. As long as they go back to the church, which we have the true faith, we encourage to go back. Because we all worship together in the same body. Of course, we welcome them to join our church. But that's not necessary. If they prefer language-wise, they want to listen to American church, they want to learn the American language, they may want to go back to American church, that's all right. We are all in the same body. So this is one sense, the church in general. So we need to respect people of different churches, especially as long as they believe in the same faith. Now, but also we have a church concept, church in specific. That's the church you belong to. People go to another extreme saying that since all church are the same, so this Sunday I come to a Chinese church, next Sunday I go to First T, and then following Sunday I go to First Baptist Church. I want to visit around. Is it good? No good. Because although the church has a general meaning, but you need to belong to one church. Going to church is not just to listen to the message. You need to live among the body of Christians, so that we learn from each other, we care for each other. So that's why, when you go to a new city, I encourage you to look for several churches around, and find a church you think is more appropriate to you, and settle down and commit to that church. Because you need to belong to that body, so that brothers and sisters can care for each other. If you jump around to different places, it's very hard to build this relationship. To really put your belief into action in loving one another. So, why do we need to belong to a church then? Why can't I just go to different places? Because we will belong to church for different functions. For example, outside, we have a connect witnesses. We worship in this Chinese church, so people here in the Chinese community know about existence. There's a body of Chinese believers who worship Sunday, every Sunday, to the Lord. This is a collectiveness for the Lord. The second reason why we belong to a church is that we need to learn how to care for one another. And the third reason is that we need to join forces together to proclaim this gospel. To proclaim the gospel. So let's read the passage, Hebrews 10:25. May I ask you to read together? Let's go. So here, Hebrews 10:25 encourages us, don't give up meeting together. And you need to belong to one body so that you can encourage one another. So this is the teaching of the Bible. On one hand, respect this general church in general, but also you need to achieve one body in a specific way and belong and commit. Of course, you really get very upset about that church. You have the right to change to another church. But don't change easily. Just like a family. Okay? Try to commit to a family. And stay there so that you can learn from each other, love each other, to practice the teaching of the Lord. I heard one story saying that there's a young man. After he went to church several times, he quit going to church. So the pastor came to visit him. And the pastor asked him, why don't you come to church? Are you going to other churches? He said, no. He said, pastor, I don't need to go to church. Because nowadays, in this modern age, all things are so easy. If I turn on the television on Sunday, I can listen to a good sermon. He did not say that it's better than yours. He just said, I can listen to a good sermon. So, I don't necessarily go to church. Okay. So the Bible tried to explain to him why it's important going to church as much as to listen to the message. You need to encourage one another. You need to learn how to serve. And he did not listen. So the Bible pastor has some wisdom. At that time, it was winter. They were sitting in the sitting room. And in the sitting room, there's a fireplace. So he said, youngster, let me ask you. Take a look. Then the pastors used maybe a phone and then take a piece of coal from that burning fire. The fire had a lot of coal. So he took a piece of the coal and put it on the floor and said, look at the coal. That piece of coal was burning with the world inside the fire. But once you take it out, it becomes cold and die down. So when you go to a new place, you must belong to a church. It's all right to shop around. Take a look first. But you have to pray and then commit to one church. Otherwise, you'll be that piece of coal taken out of the fireplace. And you get cold. There's a sister from student fellowship. She has gone to New York. She has been worshipping for a while and then quit going to church. Now, she's all cold. She even doubted the existence of God. You've got to believe, belong to grace. But what are the functions served by the church? When I go to church, what are the functions served by the church? Okay, let's take a look. Passage, Ephesians 5:25-27. Let's read together. Husbands, when some of the students graduate from student fellowship, they'll go to other places, other cities. And when they mention to me, Dr. Kwok, if I go to different places, other cities, how should I identify a good church? Of course, there's no perfect church. There's near perfect church or not so perfect church. If there's one perfect church, when you go there, it becomes imperfect already. So there's no perfect church in this world, but you try to find this one that's closer to the Word of God and try to commit to the church. So how do we identify what is good church, what is not a good church? I kind of joke talking to those young men. When you look for a church, imagine that you're looking for a wife. You want to find a beautiful wife. How do you know this is a beautiful wife? Okay, look at here, the Ephesus. We're familiar with this passage. A lot of people use this passage to describe the relationship between the husband and the wife. Describe the relationship between the husband and the wife. Okay? You know that in Chinese culture, we talk about there are five cardinal relationships for human living. Everyone belongs to one of these five relationships. All belong to five minutes. What are the five cardinal relationships? One is the emperor, is your boss and the subject. The second one are the parents and the children. The third one is the husband and the wife. The fourth one is the siblings, the brothers and sisters. And the fifth one, are the friends. So everyone will be in this web of social relationship, and the good man will what? Will live out this good relationship. That you need to be respecting your boss superior, you respect your parents, you take care of your children, you respect your wife, your husband, and also you be good to your siblings, the brothers and sisters, and also be faithful to your friends. Out of these five cardinal relationships, which one is the most important in this Chinese culture? Guess. It's between the parents and the children. That's why the Chinese culture emphasizes a lot on the filial piety. But according to the Bible, these five relationships, which one is the most important? It's husband and wife. Why? Of course, they were first created the same, right? And I think also, my interpretation is that actually it's a symbolic meaning of what? Between Christ and the church. The church is like the wife of Jesus Christ. It's well prepared to get into wedding, to be wedded to the groom. So, what is a good church? A good church is like a good wife. A good wife has four dimensions. W-I-F-E. I follow this teaching from Chuck Swindoll because one time I listened to this message. He gives a very interesting acronym. Wife. What is a good church? When you go to a city to try to find a good church, go to the worship. See how the pastor preach. Did the pastor preach off the word of God? Or just talk about psychology, philosophy, politics? Is his preaching expository? Expositing, explaining the Bible? How about the singing? How about the prayers? Do you find that after you go to church, you feel spiritually edified? Just like you have a good spiritual meal after you finish the service. This is one thing. The second thing is instructions. Besides having people worshiping in the sanctuary, does the church have a program to keep edifying the children, the believers, so that they can serve the Lord better? Instruction. For example, is there a discipleship program in the church? Is there Bible study training? When I go out, I train a lot of churches in doing discipleship, in training how to lead Bible study. Because these believers are supposed to equip to do what? To serve the Lord. Let's take a look. Yes. So it's to serve the Lord. And the third dimension for good church is fellowship. Fellowship doesn't necessarily mean just going to dinner together, or maybe just to watch a movie last night together. Not just have a Bible study on Friday night. Fellowship goes beyond that. Fellowship is actually love, means love in action. That we belong to the same fellowship. We care for each other. Besides, we learn the Bible study to learn together, but in daily life we care for each other. When one brother goes down, falls down, you pull him up. And you fall down, he takes you back. We carry each other another. We put love into real actions. And a good church is what? It also is overlooking, always emphasizing and sharing the gospel. It's not content with just having Friday meetings all the time. They want to bring people come here, to bring new people here so that they have the chance to listen to the gospel. Not just share the gospel here in town, but also doing short-term mission. Because Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. The church is faithful in following the Great Commission. So a good church has this function of W-I-F-E. By the way, a sidetrack. A good Christian is also a good wife. A man can also be a good wife, quote unquote, okay? A good Christian is also prepared to be part of his wife, this church. What do I mean? Do you have daily worship of the Lord? W. I. Do you really like to read the Bible? Or just read the Bible on Friday? You have this heart of learning, keep learning, instruction. F. You're not just good at Bible, but also you put into action, you love others. You put all this learning into practice and love other people. E. Do you have the burden to share Christ with other people? Are you mission-oriented? Are you evangelism-oriented? If you lack one dimension, you are not a pretty wife. You're not very pretty. So, put some cosmetics and be more pretty, prettier over time. So that's a good church, W-I-F-E. When the church has all these functions, it grows well, and grows together. But how is the church organized? You come here, you take for granted, oh, we just enjoy the time. But later on when you grow up, you need to reflect, what is my role in the church? The church is created and organized in this way. We have pastors. See? We have two pastors church. Pastors. I did not steal their picture. It's on the web. I just took it from the web. Okay, the pastor and then there's a leadership board, the deacon board. We make decisions about the daily operation of the church. And also there's a congregation, the believers. So this church happens to be a congregation governance church. That's the final say, actually, is based on the voting of the congregation. So you need to understand your right. So if you see something that's not very good in church, reflect your opinion to the pastors or the deacons. And during the congregation meeting, and you can also speak out. And you need to vote. Don't just, when people have this congregation meeting, you just go outside to have good dinner. Attend the congregation meeting. So this is how the church is organized. Let me digress a little. Do you know who's the MVP of NBA last year? Very good. LeBron James. Talk about basketball. You know, in the basketball, typically, you have how many players on each side?
Five.
Good. Simple. And the five players, let's use this in analogy. Let's treat the basketball game as a church, function as a church. So there are five players playing the basketball, try to shoot the basket. And there's a lot of audience, right? A lot of people in the audience watching. So let me ask you, if this was a church, what are the players representing? Who are the players? Who is the audience? Playing in this basketball court. Let me ask you. Using this analogy, who are the players? A lot of people will say that, oh, it's the back. LeBron James. Sitting with the wall. He knows how to share the gospel. Everyone get a basket, okay? And then what? The defense. When they pass the ball. Who are we? We are the audience. When the pass got ball, the pastor got the basket. Wonderful planning. And he's not doing well. This is the wrong idea. Who are the players? We are the players. Everyone of the church are the players. And who's the pastor? He's the coach. He's coaching all the players to what? Work in the court. And who's the audience? The world, those non-believers, even the spiritual world, is watching us, how we act together as players. So everyone needs to serve in the church. Everyone belongs to the church, and also everyone is supposed to search. Otherwise, you'll find that your spiritual statements. Let's read to this together. John 4:14. Let's read together. Go. From John 4:14, we have this concept called living water. When we release Christ, the Holy Spirit will dwell in us. And one of the things that you have to grow is to let the Holy Spirit grow you by serving. It's just like a living stream of living water. If you do not serve in the church, you'll find that you will be spiritually stagnant. Although you go to church every week, you do not find that you grow spiritually. So you've got to, some way, serve in church in some capacity. So you say, oh, how do I church? How do I serve? In what capacity do I church? Serve. So let's read Ephesians 4, 5, 11 to 12. Let's go. So Christ himself, you see, Christ gave a lot of good people, apostles, prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and leaders, what? To equip his people, his church people, to do the work of service. Notice all these are coaches, and we are equipped as the players in the court in order to build up the body of Christ. So everyone should get involved. So when you go to a new city, when you come to a church, talk to the pastors, or elders, or deacons. I want to serve. Tell me what I can serve. Even if I need to wash dishes, collect garbage can, I'll do that. Give me some opportunity to serve. Big or small, please. When you serve, try to identify what kind of spiritual gifts you have. Everyone at least will have one spirit gift. So there are three gifts of languages. For example, some can teach, some can exhort, some can prophesy. They can lead Bible study, they can preach Sunday school, they can even do preaching. Some people are very good in serving, caring for each other, inviting people here, just like Andrew. Hospitality, all this. Giving. And some people have special gifts in the Holy Spirit, healing, speaking in tongues, all this. So you need to identify what kind of gift the Holy Spirit has given you, and then you serve along your gift. Try to build up the body of Christ. And you say, how do I know what kind of gift I have? Let me give you one clue. Look at 5 E's. There are 5 E's that can help you. The 5 E's can help you identify what kind of gift you have. The first E, easy. When you are assigned to do a task, you find it's easy. David said, when I'm assigned to play the guitar, I find it easy. Not just easy. They said, I enjoy that. Right? I played it. I find it. I can play the instrument to worship our Lord. I enjoy that moment. The second element of E is enjoyment. And third one is what? Effective. Not just you play. And people say, yeah, it's good music. There needs to be some confirmation. When you lead Bible study, I enjoy leading Bible study. But after eating, everybody falling asleep. And that's not effective. So there's the internal confirmation or also external confirmation. Okay? And then what's the fourth year? Understand that all this given to you is to edify others. It's not to glorify your name. It's not to show your talent. It's to edify others. And what's the final year? The final is for the exaltation of God's name. So when you go to a new place, try to identify this, and the pastors, the elders may give you opportunity to serve. And then you try on new things first. Small things first, and if you're faithful, then God will power you with other things. When I first came to this church, I just served as a student fellowship advisor. And then the pastor of this church asked me to teach Sunday school. And then after that, he said, how about preaching? And there's a scoop, keep rolling. I didn't ask for that. But if you're faithful to the spirit's gift given to you and exercise that, you can see that actually getting more and more. But if you do not do that, what happened? Let's see. Matthew 25:29. Let's read that together. For whoever oh, be careful. Just like a capitalist society. If you invest more, you get more. If you do not invest, the little you have, sting away. This is a spiritual capitalist society. So if you invest more, if you keep be very faithful in doing that, you'll find that your spiritual gifts just multiply over time. Because the Holy Spirit just flows through you very naturally. But if you do not serve, just sit there all the time, that little one you have, so I tell you, will be taken away. So my final word to those people who are going to leave us and go to a new city. Of course, you treasure the time here, right? We wash the car, we do some good calls, we have fun time, we watch the movie all the time, right? We have pizza all the time. But you understand the meaning of church. When you go to a new place, you have a new environment. So reflect upon what's the meaning of church. Why do I need to belong to a church? And how to find a good church? And you yourself, how to be a good believer? And try to exercise your gift to serve the church. And you use that. If you do that, you'll be blessed. Not just you'll be blessed. Through you, many people will be blessed. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Father, thank you for letting us worship together in your name. Especially, pray for those who are going to leave us. Pray that they will find a suitable church for them. Not just worshiping, but try to identify opportunity to serve you. And through that, you bless them. Thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.